Fox and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Former New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez is going to prison for accepting bribes from two businessmen.
The judge has sentenced former Senator Bob Menendez to 11 years in prison. He said that he's not going to give him any fine because he's made an assessment that that's really something that Menendez can no longer afford.
CBS's Katrina Kaufman is outside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan where Menendez teared up before he was sentenced.
He absolutely broke down in the courtroom crying as he really asked the judge for mercy.
Menendez maintained his innocence right to the end, saying his dealings with foreign officials were just part of his job as head of the Foreign Relations Committee.
He has made the argument that acts and conduct that were alleged here are protected under the speech and debate clause from the Constitution. And this is something that we could see appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Governor Tony Evers is lowering the threshold for lead poisoning. He approved a new emergency rule from the Department of Health Services that drops the threshold from 5 micrograms per deciliter to 3.5. Savannah Tolme Olson has more.
That brings the standards in Wisconsin closer to recommendations from the CDC. It means more children exposed to lead will be eligible for services. Just last week, a Milwaukee student tested positive for lead poisoning, and health officials believe they were exposed at school. No level of lead is considered safe for kids. Evers also allocated $5 million in federal funding toward lead and PFAS abatement efforts in well water. Since 2022, 684 wells have been decontaminated, rebuilt, or closed under that program. His next budget also includes $6.2 million to go toward lead and PFAS removal efforts.
There's a voters' forum next week at the Rome Town Hall. Multiple candidates are running for the positions of Rome Town Board Chairperson and Rome Town Board Supervisor. There will be a spring primary election on February 18th to narrow down the candidates. You can come in person to the Rome Town Hall at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 4th, to hear from the candidates. You can also view the broadcast live over Channel 300 or on the town's website, romewi.gov. If you have a question for the candidates, you can submit it prior to the voters' forum in the box at the Rome Town Hall and at the Rome Library. The deadline to submit a question is noon on Friday, January 31st. Port Edwards Village President Betsy Mansell proclaims January 31st to be Marshall Bueller Memorial Day in the village. Marshall dedicated his life to service in the interest of civic duty and strengthened the community through his leadership and volunteerism. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Badgers and the Terrapins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers are at the University of Maryland tonight to take on the Terrapins, named after the Diamondback Terrapins, a small turtle found around Chesapeake Bay. It's been their mascot since 1933. Now, 6 of the Badgers' next 8 games are on the road, but Greg Gard says it. No big deal.
We'll have some nice box meals for us, I'm sure, turn in when we fly to Maryland, stay in a good hotel. Right? There's much more difficult things in life. I don't think it's a big deal. Go play. Where do they want us to play next? All right, we'll be there.
Number 9th ranked Marquette on the road last night, beating Butler 78-69. NBA, the Bucks losing again in Portland, 125-117. Milwaukee simply could not stop the Trailblazers.
I thought they got what they wanted all game, honestly. I never thought we established any kind of defensive presence throughout the game.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
A little cooler today, but still bright and beautiful, with high temperatures reaching the mid-30s. And mainly clear skies tonight as lows fall to the mid-20s. All ahead of a major warm-up that'll likely break record highs as we hit 50 degrees tomorrow. And soaking up the sunny skies. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers criminy.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Mr. Green Bay showbiz himself, Frank Hermans, who joins me in studio to discuss his new show. Then I talk movies and TV with the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 4:30, we're going to talk with producer, director Nathan Deming, talk about his new film, February. Right now, we have with us in studio, Danita Carlson, executive assistant over at Be Still, Inc., and we have Jesse Urban with us as well. You too, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, James.
Really appreciate the time, you guys, and looking forward to getting into and letting the audience know more about Be Still and some of the other great things that are going on with you guys in this organization. Let's dive right into that, Danita, if you will, and how you guys are involved with this and everything. Where did you want to start?
Oh, where I want to start is to have Jesse tell the story about how Be Still started. I think that's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
I knew you were rolling the dice having both of us in here.
I love this. I'm just going to sit back and eat my popcorn and watch this stuff. Yeah. Jesse, could you tell us a little bit about the organization?
Yeah. So Be Still Incorporated started in 2015 after my wife and I witnessed a pastor that was burnt out. We were at a church service. He was going on sabbatical leave, and we really questioned if he would come back from sabbatical leave. We were wondering, like, if that's a common problem. When we went home, we started doing some research on clergy burnout, and we're looking at these statistics of, you know, 35% of pastors have considered quitting, and we started talking about what that would mean for us, what that would mean for our community if something happened with our pastors and they burnt out. And then we just started asking the question, you know, who's got our pastors back? Who's looking out for church leaders if not us? And that led to us doing some serious soul searching and asking God about how do we stop burnout? Like, what, how do we do it? And He pointed right at Jesus and the fact that Jesus often withdrew to get alone with the Father in nature, away from distractions, and he never modeled burnout. Like, he had all the recipe for burning out, but he didn't burn out. And so after that model, we said, well, what are the reasons that church leaders, missionaries aren't able to get away? And we decided to build a cost-free retreat facility in Plainfield, Wisconsin. So cost wasn't a factor. We're able to serve at a local facility at a place that was designed specifically for church leaders. It's not a back bunkhouse in the corner. It's not a basement. We want our guests to feel five-star quality and know that we made a place specifically for them to get alone with God, build their relationship with Him, their spouse, their staff. And healthy church leaders make for healthy community.
Before we dive into the B&B and some of these things and how people can use these resources, find out more and everything, I want to start off right away commending both of you, you and your wife, you and Danita, the whole organization, for just approaching this topic. for even getting into it. Deneen and I have talked about this, and I've talked about it on the air many times. I was raised in a multi-faith household with Christianity and Judaism. I grew up understanding or learning almost every religion under the sun, but not having a lot of faith myself. And that's nothing about, I pray all the time and everything, but as far as a strict denomination, I was never really, nothing called to me. And it's part of the reason, I bring this up in part because one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen in the world is somebody being called to a faith, deciding to be a preacher, a reverend, or something like that. I cannot think of many things in life that are more honorable or beautiful to me than somebody choosing to do that with their life. One of the saddest things I can think of is somebody being burned out from that, somebody being to a point where, for whatever reasons, and there's a variety of them, I imagine, that would not want to be able to continue this. That breaks my heart, like literally breaks my heart to think of that. To think of you and this organization wanting to cut that off at the pass, if you will, before it becomes too big of a problem or something like that, is so commendable. It's right up there with the actually deciding to do this for a living. I really admire it. And I think that it's something that's a topic, too. I have to be honest, I had not thought much about before. I had not thought most of the growing up, there was a rabbi that my family was very good friends with. And this is one of the strongest human beings I'd ever thought of. But I actually thought about him with this. And he survived the Holocaust. He survived so many different things. And when I knew him, that man was really burnt out when I think about it back in the day. But he kept going because, you know, I imagine that people like that could use something like this so much, a recharge. Because that's what it feels like to me is a lot of what happens here is the ability to kind of recharge, to refocus in some ways. I am positive that you guys can speak to this better, but I really wanted to make sure to get that out there, that I think this is noteworthy on a number of levels. Maybe first and foremost, the idea of just approaching this topic and we're talking about it. That we're having this discussion.
Yeah.
We know in the Midwest, we don't tend to lean on people very much. We don't tend to complain as much or really, you know, we don't ask for ask for things very often. I think that this is vitally important, too, in the Midwest, where we just, you know, we all know Midwesterners. We're all the same. We don't lean on each other enough. I think this is, we need more of that. And having this just in place, let alone what could happen to it in the next years to come and everything, is really unique.
Yeah.
How getting this, having the idea is fantastic. Getting it off the ground, that seems like a little more difficult. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Jesse?
Yeah. So we, once we knew, we had been praying for a few years over our family's hunting sanctuary. We've got 500 acres in Plainfield. And so we were praying about something we could do that gave back to the community, glorified God, and built his kingdom. And so when we saw this problem, we really sold our house. We trained a lot of accountants and put up the capital to build the place. Like normally you do a big fundraising campaign, you're sharing the vision. I got laughed out of a few offices not having a funding business model on the front end of this thing. And they're like, what are you modeling after? I'm like, God told us to do it, so we're going to do it. And so we put up the capital to build 5 overnight cottages. My parents had already renovated a barn that was built in 1932 as like a family party barn. So they allowed us to utilize that for meetings. And then early on, we had a local church that raised funds and donated a day cabin because there's local pastors that like to get away for a day. So we had the background in the cranberry industry, working with different contractors and utility companies to get the infrastructure put in the ground for the retreat facility. And then we ended up going with park model RVs, where you prep the area and you pull them in on a triaxle trailer, and we had them up and ready the next day after they were delivered. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. How long has this been? You touched on this a little bit, but how long has this been going on to get to this point?
Yeah, we incorporated in 2015. We were hosting guests in 2016. We had 350 guests that we served. And then by 2019, we have the capacity to serve 1,080 free nights on average each year. So that ends up being like 1,200 guests a year that we're serving for free. And in 2019, we were booked out full capacity, 3-month waiting list. And so then that's when we really started praying about, thinking about how do we expand from this local retreat facility into solving this on a national scale, maybe even a global scale, taking the fight there.
Yeah, yeah, because this is certainly something that I would imagine around the world could be useful and helpful. Again, just the resource even being there could be reassuring for many people in this position. That's interesting. Danita, how did you get involved with this?
Well, how did I get involved? So I was, as you know, I've done mental health work in the community for quite some time, and I had left Love Inc. and was volunteering, helping getting Mary's Place up and running, and had known Jesse and Lindsay just maybe just on the fringe or something through going to church at Christian Life Fellowship in Port Edwards. And Jesse had known who I was and had seen the work that I was doing and had approached me a little bit over a year ago now and had asked me if I would be willing to come on board and help expand into the Be Still B&B portion of the ministry. Because right now, or before, he's like he said, the retreats had been going on for quite some time, but they saw the need. They saw the need to expand because they could only have 1,200 guests per year. And reality is, as you were talking about before, that maybe some people don't understand that clergy are burning out. And I've actually had people say to me, clergy burnout, is that a thing? And reality is that there's a Barna survey that was released in 2021 that revealed that 38% of clergy in America considered quitting. And so we look at that number, and Jesse mentioned earlier that healthy pastors make for healthy communities, healthy churches make for healthy communities. So when he had approached me, I thought, you know, this would be perfect. I actually own a short-term rental. And so as we're looking at expanding into the Be Still B&B, what that is looking at others who own short-term rentals and then asking them if they would be willing to be generous and host pastors and missionaries at their places free of charge. And so what we're working on now is trying to recruit hosts, people who own either vacation properties or short-term rentals, and asking them, would they be willing to give up a weekend a year, a week a year, or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, maybe it's a month. For me, my short-term rental is located in Rome, and so we are by far busiest during those summer months, the golfing season, but then we have downtime in the winter. So I'm able to open up those months in the winter and have clergy and missionaries stay at my home, and that is free of charge. And so right now, I have a pastor and his wife, and they're staying at my home, and they are able to rest and relax and do that, just get away and recharge. And really what we want to do is prevent burnout. We are hoping that we aren't serving those that are in crisis, but sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. But really we want to be prevention. We want to keep our pastors healthy. And that, again, fit perfectly with my prevention work in the past, and was super excited when Jesse had reached out to me.
When I first saw this and started diving into this topic, I have to admit that there were a couple things that popped in my head right away. One, many of the conversations I've had over the years with Sheriff Becker, on air and off air, and how we see that badge, we see certain people and individuals, and they just, well, that's a strong human being right there, and they're perfectly fine. And not, you know, there's nobody who's perfectly fine completely. Right. You know, we've all got stuff going on. We've all got thoughts, some more than others, and some need help more than others. And it's a good reminder to our community that these individuals, while they are leaders, every leader could, also needs to lean on people from time to time. I think there's another cool part about this too, and I do think it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that really ties into things as well. There's something that feels amazing about being able to help people that you don't normally get the chance to. and how empowering that can be for those individuals in that community. And for a community to be able to help a community leader, that goes both ways. As great as it feels for these people in these positions to help their flock, to help their community and everything, that community gets to feel just as good helping these individuals. And that mental health wise is such a great like tie-in and a great like added benefit from this as well. I think that's noteworthy with this. There is Sweets for Treats. I'm sorry, I've been staring at the Sweets for Treats thing the whole time. and I have to admit, I have a sweet tooth, so it caught my eye a little bit. But do you want to dive into that, Danita, and talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I think overall, Jesse, I don't know if you've really done events like this in the past. Have you guys? And this is the first annual Sweets for Retreats, but I don't know if you've done something.
We've done some events out at the retreat facility so that people could come and see it and do hay rides and things like that. But my wife, Lindsay, and my mom, Cheryl, they've been dreaming about hosting a dessert auction for years. And this year being our 10th anniversary of serving in ministry, they're like, it's now or never. This is the time we're going to kick this thing off. So we decided to do it a little late in the season. Like, we're definitely going to be planning for the next one sooner, but it's coming together beautifully. We've got some great sponsors that stepped up to help us, you know, get this thing kicked off. And
yeah, so what it's called is Sweets for Retreats, really because of Be Still Retreats and supporting the operations of Be Still Retreats in Plainfield. I think we said, but maybe we didn't, that this is free to all of our members. The membership is free, so this is free for pastors and missionaries to stay at the retreat. It's also free for the pastors and missionaries that are staying at the short-term rental. So this is Sweets for Retreats dessert auction, and it's being held on February 15th, which is a Saturday, so right after Valentine's Day, and it's being held at the Ridges Golf Course and Banquet Facility. And we've got Matelco has come alongside us, and DigiCopy has come alongside us, along with Lodge Lovers, the booking platform that we partner with, and they are our legacy sponsors for the event. So doors open and social hours at 4:30. We've got Pam Ross, who will be singing. So
that's awesome.
Any of the Pam Ross followers, make sure that you check this event out. It'll be fun, and you'll be able to hear her beautiful voice. The dinner starts at 6 p.m. We are having chicken Oscar with beef medallions and mashed potatoes, a vegetable and salad. And then the dessert auction will follow. And so this has been, like Jesse was saying, we've had a pretty short runway. But as always, I find that this community just wraps their arms around nonprofit organizations and they come along and support so easily. They're always so generous. And so we have about 20 bakers that have already said, I want to donate a dessert for this auction. And so we've got some amazing desserts that we will be that will be auctioned off that night. We've got silky smooth Venezuelan flan, a Boston cream pie, mom's apple pie. We've got some businesses that have stepped in and said, I want to embrace that faith aspect for the event, and they're going to create an elegant worship theme, maple brown butter sponge cake. So we've got cheesecakes, we've got pies, we've got a lot of different cakes that are being auctioned off, different kinds of cakes, red velvet, chocolate, Neapolitan, just a really great variety. So there will be something for everyone at this dessert auction.
Well, and really, it's an excuse to raise money, because these cakes are amazing, and they're worth what's getting bid on. But we're, like Danita said, we're completely publicly supported. Everything we do is for free. We don't have a huge trust account or anything that's pumping this thing, and so we're looking to establish something that people look forward to each year. That's a fun event that we can run up the prices on these cakes to support a good cause. Look back at 10 years of ministry and fund the next 10 years of ministry and have a fun time doing it.
Right, right. And so like we had said earlier, Pam Ross will be there. We've got the dinner, as I mentioned earlier, then the auction will take place. And it is a time where you can just maybe pay a ridiculous price for a cheesecake, but but you're supporting something beautiful that's mm-hmm. happening, and you're really supporting a healthy community because we are supporting multiple pastors in the area, multiple congregations in the area. We are the only free facility in Wisconsin, and so Jesse, I can't remember if he mentioned there's a waiting list yes. to stay at Be Still Retreats in mm-hmm. Plainfield. And so I'm not quite sure if people understand what the true need is, but we'll have Jesse will be talking about giving a little snapshot of Be Still Retreats, Be Still B&B, and then we'll also have Pastor Jeff and Carrie O'Connor. They'll both be there and talking about the impact that staying at Be Still Retreats has had on them and their congregation. So it'll be a wonderful evening, and we're really hoping that people will go to our website at bestillretreats.org, and there you'll find an events tab, and you'll be able to register there. The cost per ticket is $35, or you can buy a table of eight for $240. And so we're really encouraging people to connect with family, friends, come out for a night of fun, and just celebrate with us, celebrate 10 years of fighting clergy burnout.
Get registered by February 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So good point. Good
point. We want to make sure that we've got a good count for the dinners, and make sure you get your ticket before they're sold out.
Did want to mention as well, while you guys have a perfect evening lined up, and I can't stress that enough, it is a perfect evening from the music to the food to all these things, and the prices, as you mentioned there, Danita, are great. But what you cannot put a price on is a cause like this. Yeah, and how good it feels to be a part of something like this. Again, I commend you guys for this and some great work and a great conversation today. Thank you both so very much for everything. Let's tell people again how they can find out more about Be Still Retreats and how they can sign up for this great event coming up. Just one more time, remind them of that, Danita.
You can go to bestillretreats.org and then click on the events tab there, and you'll be able to sign up for that event. And we really encourage people just to look through our website and see a little bit more of what we're about.
Encourage you to also to spread the word about this event and make sure that more and more people know about this and support the cause as much as you can whenever you can, and be a part of this great event, everybody, and spread the word about it. Thank you both so much for the time and what you're doing when it comes to this. I appreciate the work, you guys.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Funding for the UW system could be in jeopardy under the Trump administration's attempt to pause federal payments. Savannah Tolme-Olson breaks it down.
The White House instructed federal agencies to stop paying grants and loans and indicated those payments wouldn't resume for at least a few weeks. A judge blocked that move yesterday just before it could go into effect. But for now, things are in limbo. That includes for the universities of Wisconsin. About a third of the funding for the UW system comes from federal money, according to the Wisconsin State Journal. Now, this attempted move by the Trump administration, if it went into effect, would not apply to payments that go directly to individuals, like Medicare, Social Security, and student loans. But the system gets the biggest chunk of federal money for contracts and grants, not student loans. And that funding would stop. UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin called it all concerning. The university was already dealing with the Trump administration's pause in federal funding for research. UW-Madison's research efforts rank 6th in the nation.
PetSmart in Wisconsin Rapids opens this Saturday. The store is located in the former Shopko building on the East Riverview Expressway, along with 3 other retailers, including Harbor Freight, Five Below, and Marshall's. PetSmart opens on February 1st at 9 a.m. with special deals for pets and their pet parents. The new store spans over 18,000 square feet and offers a wide range of products and services, including pet training, a full grooming salon, and pet adoptions. Badging in the studio at McMillan Library is canceled today for the Silhouette Cameo. If you need to get badged to work in the studio, you can stop down next Wednesday between noon and 5. Open studio hours are on Saturdays from 10 to 1. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lady Gaga is not used to getting bad reviews when it comes to her music or acting. That ended big time when Joker Folie à Deux was panned by critics and audiences alike. Gaga put things in perspective in a recent chat with Elle magazine, saying people just sometimes don't like some things. She sounded unfazed, though, continuing that fear of failure is worse than actual failure, and if it takes over, can cause mayhem. Don't you hate it when your parole officer puts the kibosh on you hosting Saturday Night Live? Martha Stewart sure does. She whined to the perfect audience on The Tonight Show starring cheerleader Jimmy Fallon about how she missed her opportunity to host the show 20 years ago because of said parole officer. Maybe she'll get another opportunity since time has passed since she was convicted for conspiracy and obstruction of justice, as well as an insider trading scandal. It's so stressful when rich celebrities don't get everything they want. Maybe she can cry on her equally as annoying BFF Snoop Dogg's shoulder. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A little cooler today, but still bright and beautiful, with high temperatures reaching the mid-30s. And mainly clear skies tonight as lows fall to the mid-20s. All ahead of a major warm-up that'll likely break record highs as we hit 50 degrees tomorrow and soaking up the sunny skies. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 35.
Hello there, this is James.
Melissa.
Chad. And Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for What's Worse, blue cheese or American cheese. The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And today we are welcoming into the studio, well, on the phone line, I should say, Nathan Demming, producer, director of the new film February. We're going to have a preview of this film coming here to Rogers Cinema this weekend. Looking forward to that. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Nathan, thanks for being here with us.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me on WFHR.
Appreciate the time, man. And I want to journalistically get this out there right away. I am an actor, so every once in a while, being that Nathan is a director, every once in a while, I'm just going to throw a monologue in there and try to get some work. Just every once in a while.
Okay.
I'm kidding. in all seriousness, I don't have any journalistic integrity. I love talking to directors. I love talking about the arts. And the only thing I love more than that is talking to locals. And people that are from this state, from the Midwest, from this area that are doing this kind of work. I think it's really awesome, man. And I think that we need more artists supporting artists. It's something that we believe in very strongly around here. And we're really happy to have you on and to be able to talk about this awesome independent film.
Yeah.
Nathan, before we get going.
I was going to say, this is my first winter back in a while in the Midwest, and I have just been sick the entire time. I forgot that that's what it's like being back here.
Well, let's get into
so
a little of that.
My voice goes, yeah.
All right, well, we'll work around it. But when it comes to that, we'll get into the film in a minute, but one of my favorite things to do is getting to know you, getting to know our guests. So give us a little bit of your origin story, Nathan. Where are you from? How did you get into this world?
Well, I'm from down the road in Tomah, Wisconsin, and grew up making movies, I guess, with my parents' camcorder, and always loved doing that. I think Wisconsin's a really fun place to grow up making movies because it's just like, one, you know, it's just kind of a naturally beautiful place, but also, you know, if you want to make a Western, you can make a Western, you know, you easily know somebody with a horse or a barn, you know.
It's
a lot of ways. And go ahead.
Oh, no, I you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and like you were saying, I think I totally agree with how you opened this, and that I think there's also a lot of like amazing regional arts going on too. And Wisconsin is a pretty like collaborative and creative state. There's like a world of difference filming here than in LA.
Yeah, to your point, I spent a couple of years out in California, and one of the things that they were blown away by is when they would get done seeing a movie and seeing that it was filmed in Wisconsin or was filmed in the Midwest, and the ability that the backdrops we have around here are amazing. They're second to none.
Yeah, no, for sure.
When it comes to getting into this world, how did you get your foot in the door? What is some of the studying and the schooling that you've done?
Well, I think it's different for everybody, obviously, and I've always been a very DIY guy, you know, like I said, growing up making movies. But I think the real thing that changed things for me was I went to the London Film School, which when I went there, it was headed by a British filmmaker named Mike Lee. Are you familiar with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. I love Mike Lee. And I was graduating from college and I saw Another Year, if you saw that film, and I was blown away by it. Went down the Mike Lee rabbit hole and realized this is the director closest to anything I wanted to be or do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up liking Spielberg and Lucas and, you know, a ton of American filmmakers who are all amazing, but then I saw Mike Lee's stuff and I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. You know, I want to do Westerns, I want to do all that fun stuff, but like, his approach to life and filmmaking I think is so cool. And so anyways, I applied, got in, and then just had this incredible time of, I think, growing as an artist and meeting people and hopefully eventually finding my voice. And so my dream is to kind of carry that fire back with me to Wisconsin and kind of do something similar to what he's done for the UK, do it for our state.
And I love that idea. And I think that's noteworthy. One of the things that we, especially in radio, noted a while back was, well, nowadays, everybody, if you want to hear a song, you can go online, find it. You want to find information, you can go online, find it. What's something we can do that nobody else can? Well, we can talk about local. We can do a report and talk about local things like nobody else can because we're living here. We're right here. I think it's a similar thing with not only filmmaking, but with the arts and really leaning into where you're from and what your vision is. I think that is very noteworthy. And your project here is all the things we've just said. Before we dive into February itself, I want to just take a step back and talk about the project and this year project, this 12-part series that began with January.
Yeah, so this is my current goal, is to make a film for every month of the year, all set in Wisconsin. I say current like it's like going to be done soon, but the plan is this is easily going to take me 10 or 15 years. And I want to do it for all the kind of reasons we're talking about, which is to, one, I like concepts. There's a film series by Kieslowski called The Decalogue, some viewers might know, which is a 10-part series based on the Ten Commandments. So each episode kind of stands alone and meditates on a certain theme. So that's kind of one inspiration for this. But also, I just think there's so many Wisconsin stories to tell. And also, our seasons and our months are so pronounced and different anyways. I'm just really excited about how this series can build and grow over time. And hopefully, Wisconsin audiences will be into it, which is why I'm taking February around now, and just look forward to sharing the story with you over 10 years that hopefully everybody will look forward to.
You know, you bring up some really great points there, and I think one of them is one of the strongest ones is really highlighting this area and the seasons and some of the things that come from that. And while they're predictable, a little bit predictable at least, because right now it's we're looking at 50s today here, so
right.
All over the place right now. It's kind of, and I to that, but on a serious point to that, one of the things that I find that you're doing with this, I'm not sure if it's intentional or not, but it's archiving. You know, you're doing something here and you're getting snapshots of these times where 10, 20, 50 years from now, I think will be even more noteworthy in some ways.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's definitely that's what I love about Mike Lee's films is you put them on and they're all very different, right? Like he's made such different films, but each time you put one on, you kind of feel like, oh, that's definitely London in the 90s, or that's Edinburgh in the 80s, or something like that. So, yeah, that is a huge motivation for me as well.
And I will mention, as Nathan mentioned, the film January was already previously released, and you can find that at Venmo. We'll give you more information on how to find that before we wrap up today. Let's talk about the film February. And again, we're going to have a free showing of this coming up Sunday, 1:30 at Rogers Cinema right here in Wisconsin Rapids at 220 East Grand Avenue. We'll tell you more about those details at the end of the show. But when it comes to the movie February, what went into the making of this?
Well, February is about a Latino immigrant, so we shift perspectives. The first one, if people check out January, it's about an older church volunteer at a small church that they might find very familiar, very Wisconsin. And for February, I just wanted to show or start with the idea that our state is very diverse, despite sometimes what the image is in the media. And so focused on a Latino family and how they're fitting in. And the lead, Miguel, who's played by David Ezekiel Duran, he's just arrived. He's struggling to fit in, kind of hates his job and everything. And also coming from Mexico, it's his first winter, you know, so he's adapting to that as well. And the thing that kind of finally starts to open stuff up for him is ice fishing. So, the movie, so there's a lot of ice fishing in the movie. There's a lot of winter in the movie. And that's the first thing I would say if you're asking about production is, it was fun and difficult. It's hard to film on the ice. Luckily we got a layer of snow before we filmed, which in some ways I was disappointed by because it's really beautiful when there's no snow, but also I don't know how we could have filmed anything slipping and sliding, like the whole crew, you know, like 20 people like falling on the ice. And in general, like, I don't know if people understand what goes into filmmaking sometimes, but, you know, behind the camera, even though maybe there's two people on screen ice fishing, there's 20 people, you know what I mean? There's 15 or 20 people helping out, and we had three production vehicles, so that's three cars, and even though I was assured over and over again that the lake ice was 2 feet thick and safe, and there were plenty of giant campers and trucks out on the ice, it still was really nerve-wracking.
It's a little nerve-wracking, yeah. Shot,
yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
How long did
you ice fish?
I have, yeah. I haven't in a little while here, but I have ice fished a number of times, enough to know exactly what you're talking about for sure. Especially when you're in your, you know, you're just in your shack and you step out of there after maybe an hour or two and you look around and there's so many people on the ice that weren't there before and you start thinking about that, the weight of that and everything. How long did this this take to film? How long did was this project?
Kind of a normal film window, a couple weeks. And, you know, especially when you're filming for weather, it's like, it's kind of reliable, but also you need to have days built in where, I don't know how this happened, but towards the end of the shoot, there was like a couple, like, just like now, there was a couple days in the 50s and we started to lose snow and the whole look of the film is snow, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Then you kind of have to rush and replan things and, that's the joy and fun of filming winter in Wisconsin.
We're speaking with Nathan Deming, producer director of the new film February, and we'll be telling you how you can see that film in just a moment. You know, one other thing that stands out about this, and we've touched on this a little bit already, with the telling stories that are told every day, or maybe many might not hear. I think there's also something in here, an added representation as well, because, you know, spending time out in California, there's, I think, a stereotype that happens when it comes to the Midwest and what the typical Midwesterner looks like and what their life is like. And having your lead actor be a Latino and being Miguel and being this particular character, I think that stands out as well. Those of us that have grown up on this area and the part of the world and everything, we get this. We're a bit more of a melting pot than I think people realize. But it still is noteworthy to be able to have your lead in this being a Latino character.
Yeah, well, Latinos are the fastest growing demographic in our state, I believe. And we're having another show in Eau Claire the day before where we're talking with a university professor who told me that it's also estimated that Latinos make up 70% of the dairy force in Wisconsin now. So, like, they're a huge part of our state's identity and economy. And, yeah, I just thought it'd be really fun to kind of focus on them, include them. And then also I think there's maybe two layers, hopefully, for what I'm representing. There's definitely that. And then also, like you just kind of brought up, I think commonly when we're looked at, we're kind of looked at as the world of Fargo, even though that's Minnesota, you know what I mean? We're kind of a punchline or just that don't you know, or, you know, just kind of like, you know, it's kind of jokey. So the other side of that is the ice fisherman character, Carl, who is very much probably a person people know or like would recognize, who I cast off a Craigslist ad. So he is the real deal. He's pretty much his character. And, but yeah, I also wanted to be kind of faithful and accurate to him and that, because like, yeah, I don't like us being a punchline. I don't like being reduced to kind of stereotypes. So yeah.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to piggyback off of the representation of having a Latino lead character. I mean, right now in production and being filmed is a TV show or a movie about a New Yorker or a LAite or something like that. We have such representation when it comes to our bigger markets and our bigger cities and all that. We need more and more of these, and on a representation level, certainly, but just on a creative level also. I think that this is important for the film in general, where we're seeing more and more parody and more of the same kind of things. How many prequels can we get? How many sequels can we get? So many of these things. And I'll admit that I watch some of those and everything. So I'm just as guilty of some of this as others. But I think that, like a lot of people, we sit back, whether we're in the industry or just fans of it, and like, well, where are the new stories? Where are the different stories? Give me something new. Give me something a little unique. And something that is, one of the things that I think that you're able to do here that is so cool is be able to find something relatable while also something fresh and new to people.
Yeah, I was really, what I was blown away by is how few movies there have been about ice fishing. Like, you have Grumpy Old Men, and I mean, there's movies that might have scenes of it. And when you're preparing a movie, often one of the first conversations you have, like with a cinematographer, is like, okay, what are our references, or what other movies have been made about this topic, just to kind of see how they tackled it creatively or anything like that. And there was just so few things, and I was like, this is such a cool, interesting aesthetic activity, very Wisconsin activity, very Midwest. I was just kind of blown away the lack of lack of films that had covered it. And also everything else you just said, I totally agree with, and I think that there are so many stories to tell, and I think we're obviously very divided right now along many lines, but maybe an underappreciated one is the urban-rural divide, which doesn't just work on a state level, but on a country level. And I've been in LA for 10 years, and I think I've just seen it really ramp up in that time as well, where people talk about people from rural communities or smaller communities as if they're like exotic animals that can't be understood or something And it's like we have normal lives. Like, this is we need to be more in conversation. And maybe on the cinema level, yeah, that could mean more stories that aren't just about the main character is an ad executive in Manhattan or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and there's another representation part of this and a relatability part of this with that, where you're opening eyes with this one and telling stories and hopefully getting people to realize, wow, it's something that I try to do all the time when it comes to people from Illinois and Wisconsin. As much as they may not like this either side, you guys have more in common than you realize. And showing relatability and an empathy that can happen from that. And with this movie, with things like this, maybe creating a little bit more of this understanding, a little more empathy with West Coast and Midwest and East Coast and Midwest and some of these things, and just reminding people that we're all alike. We all have more in common than not. And there's no downside to that.
Oh, that's definitely a major theme of the film. Yeah. Like I truly believe that too, that underneath kind of all the things simmering in our culture right now, I think day to day in person, right? Like, despite all this stuff buzzing around our heads on the radio waves or the TV waves or the internet, I think we want to get along. I think we want to help each other. If your car breaks down in Wisconsin, pretty sure most people will stop and help you fix your tire. And actually that happened when we were filming in February.
we broke down
on Highway 90, and a bunch of people immediately helped us. And yeah.
We've got a free showing of the movie February coming up right here in town Sunday. This Sunday, February 2nd, 1:30 at Rogers Cinema here in Wisconsin Rapids, 220 East Grand Avenue. What does it mean to you, Nathan, to be able to have some of these free showings and some of these things going on with our local theaters? I can't imagine how good that must feel.
Well, it's so fun. Yeah. So like I said, I grew up down the road. I should also note that at that screening and every screening as we kind of go around the state, I'm going to be there. And for the first week of screenings, including our show in Wisconsin Rapids, the lead actor, David's going to be there. He's flying up from L.A. So we're going to, like, present the film and do a Q&A afterwards, and that should be really fun. And I love Wisconsin. I love the big cities. I love the small cities. And I'm really excited, especially for the small town showings. And, like, I've just found all these really cool theaters that kind of maybe grew up going to once or twice, and now it's really fun to return and show a movie here.
And I want to remind everybody as well that while this is a fun one, we're looking forward to it. Nathan's got some other great work out there that I cannot encourage you to check out enough. January, as we mentioned before, but Speaking in Tongues is one I really wanted to make sure we just touched on before we let you go. Was that your first feature?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was my first feature. And yeah, shot it a couple years ago now, and yeah, very different than this this year series, but probably similar in keeping with the themes I'm interested in. I don't know if you checked it out, but it's about a young man kind of struggling to, well, struggling in his newfound faith at a megachurch. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of highs and lows, and it's yeah, I think it's an interesting movie.
It was, I did see it, and it was something that, while it was, again, so many of the things I've been touching on, that movie did as well, and I see a theme with your work of relatability, because it was something that, not my wheelhouse, not my world, but I found such a relatability to that character and other characters in it. It's good work, man. I'm joking around about being an actor and all that, but I would love to work with you, because you've got a vision and an idea that you're sticking to with these works that I think is really exciting and fun, but also necessary. We don't have enough of it, and I appreciate that you're doing that kind of work. I don't think a lot of people realize you could be taking this talent, man, and doing a lot of other things with it. The fact that you're taking it and putting so much into our state in this area, I commend that, man. I think that's very cool that you're with the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. That's so nice. And yes, definitely. Let's send me your headshot. Let's chat.
I appreciate that. And Nathan, if people want to find out more about your work, about this project in particular, how can they do that?
Got a couple websites floating out there. First of all, for February and all of our screening tour, which if your listeners can't make the Wisconsin Rapids one, we have a plenty around the state the next month. So you can find all that information at februaryfilm.com/screenings. And then also I have a personal website, nathandeming.com, which has all my work, including Speaking in Tongues and a couple other shorts I made years ago that maybe people would have fun checking out. But yeah.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. One of our favorite mantras around here is buying local, supporting local. That includes the arts. I think it is. I will mention it every chance I get. Wisconsin finished dead last in the union when it came to funding the arts. So we, the people, need to come around and support artists. Artists supporting artists is one of the more powerful things that we can do, not just for our economy, but for our souls and our mental health. Encourage you to check this film out. It's going to be premiering right here in town Sunday, February 2nd, 1:30 at Rogers Cinema, 220 East Grand Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Find out more about that and Nathan's great work at nathandeming.com. nathandeming.com. Don't be a stranger, man. Next time another one of these projects comes up, we'd love to have you come by.
Thank you so much. You just reminded me, can I plug one more thing that I've been meaning to plug on this?
Yeah, tour? Definitely.
So I'm also working with this organization, this nonprofit called Action Wisconsin, which is a bipartisan group of filmmakers and entrepreneurs and small business owners that is doing exactly what you just described, which is lobbying the state to bring film tax incentives back to Wisconsin, because we are dead last in arts funding, and we're one of 13 states that don't offer film incentives. So anyways, people can look up more at actionwisconsin.com, but I'm sure you know, too, that's a huge reason why things don't get made here, and it's such a bummer. So if we can, we can get that law changed, which it should be going through the house soon. That'd be great.
You saw part of the reason I brought this up, man. See, we already got chemistry. That's great. That's awesome. Nathan, again, thank you for the time, Nathan, and the work you're putting into all of this. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you so much.
Again, check out this amazing film, you guys, this Sunday, February 2nd at 1:30 at Rogers Cinema right here in Wisconsin Rapids, and find out more at nathandeming.com. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
CBS News Brief. A judge has sentenced former New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez to prison for accepting bribes. CBS's Lindsay Reiser has details.
He has been sentenced to 11 years in prison in his federal corruption case. He was accused of using his powerful position as chair on the Foreign Relations Committee, essentially being a foreign agent for Egypt.
Menendez says he will appeal. President Trump has signed the Lake and Riley Act. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi says it adds nonviolent offenses to the list of charges undocumented migrants.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it! To the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it! Ice, cold, run it. Sam Decker. Ball run.